It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
General Chow's Chicken.
It's General Chow's Chicken.
I don't think so. I think it's General
Chow. But it's spelled
Chow
a different way.
I'm telling you, man.
Well, it starts with a T, but I think it's a silent T.
So where does Chow come into it?
I think that's...
That's how you say it.
It's General Chow's Chicken.
Yeah.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Last night was an example of why a athlete or a coach would not agree with your hot take of, I love human error. How do you think Laviolette loved human error last night?
That was very disappointing. I think Laviolette would be very disappointed. What do you want, though? What's he going to do, a robot?
I'm just saying, what if they just had a looked at some kind of review and said, that's actually a goal, like it should have been a goal.
But you can't review after a whistle has been blown, because the response from the other team will be, we stop playing, we quit. Even though that would be completely bogus in that situation. It was a wide open net. Sissons, I think it was.
Yes.
Was never going to miss that. But you know, Pitt would have said, Murray,
just,
quit on him.
Just answer the question. What do you think Lavi thinks of human error today?
I'm sure he's not happy.
Yeah.
But what do you think how do you think he feels about his power play today?
Oh, they handed it back to him.
Awful.
Those calls were really soft.
Oh, my God. Daniel Halloran,
terrible.
That punching call, the roughing call on
Daly, Trevor Daly was embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. He literally was looking for it. He just, I saw his arm. All I thought about was Pat.
And that was at 0-0. Yeah. Could you imagine if Pittsburgh had have scored in the second period or late in the first and they had a 1-0 lead at that point?
Yeah,
it would have been as if the refs were like, we need to go back to Pitt for game 7. Let's hand out freebies left, right,
they
center.
They did.
I hear you, man.
It was embarrassing.
It was a bad moment. It was a blunder.
It's unfortunate.
There's no dancing around it. The guy blew the whistle too quickly.
It's not unfortunate. It's garbage refereeing.
But what are you supposed to do about it,
though? I'm just saying, you're in the finals to not get that wrong. Bottom line.
There's no dancing around it. There's no hot take. I can't defend the guy. It was an awful whistle.
And he's a really good ref, too.
Awful whistle.
You know, he made a mistake. That's the unfortunate part. And you live with human error. Nashville had several opportunities to make it up. They didn't. And they are a team that lost in the finals. And
will be forgotten.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Nashville will be forgotten.
Yeah, unfortunately, you don't remember the runner-up. Remember who won.
Back-to-back cup champs. Back-to-back Conn Smythe.
It's actually...
That's what we'll remember.
It's pretty damn impressive. Like, I was sitting with Craig last night, and the 06 Carolina Hurricanes won the Stanley Cup with not a real formidable defensive core. Like, a solid defensive core, but not... They didn't have a Letang. Didn't have Prongers kicking around in Niedermeyer. Last night, they won the Stanley Cup, and throughout this playoffs, Chris Letang was in street clothes. Like, they... I thought Ole Matta was pretty good last night. Like, I thought Trevor Daly, like, their group found a way to get it. And Steve's.
I thought Ole Matta was a nightmare last night. An absolute nightmare.
See, I didn't mind him. Because I thought he had great support.
He's in for a long road ahead. But you're right. Getting it done, even with Schultz injured through a part of the Ottawa series.
Man, Ron Hainsey was playing 20-plus minutes. Brian Dumoulin played 28 last night.
Ron Hainsey came over the boards at 1-0.
I know.
Hornqvist scores, and Sullivan goes 65. You're up.
But did you?
I couldn't believe Ron Hainsey was on the ice.
I know,
in that
but
moment.
Did you see the 5-on-3? Who was killing it? A 40-year-old, Matt Cullen, Ron Hainsey, and Dumoulin, I believe.
You got to give him credit. Like, patchwork, but that's 2 years in a row where people have looked at the defense corps outside of Letang a year ago and said, this is not going to be good enough, and it's been good enough.
It has been good enough.
But here's the thing to remember. And we talk a lot about, we compare and contrast different leagues, and we compare the NHL to the NBA a lot.
Right.
The NBA has been very, very predictable. Very predictable. Everyone knew either Golden State or Cleveland was going to win. And that's obviously what's going to happen potentially tonight. We'll get to that later in the hour.
Right.
But how many people said before these playoffs started, either Washington or Pittsburgh are going to win the Stanley Cup? I'd say more than 50%.
Yeah, it's just going to come down to whoever comes out of that series.
Who wins that series is going to win the cup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what ended up happening in the end. Now, it has a very different feel to it. I'm not saying it felt predictable,
Right.
But if you look back on where we were to begin April, I think the majority of people are like, one of those two teams are going to win, and one of those two teams won.
Yeah. But if you know, it's interesting, too. I mean, Pitt's, you have to include them in that dynasty talk. But you take a look at who's won the Stanley Cups outside of Boston. It's been L.A., Chicago, and Pitt. In the last, what, 7, 8 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Nobody else. Boston had 1 year.
I was talking to Brian earlier today. If I'm a GM watching that and watching that decor for Pittsburgh without Letang,
yeah,
does it maybe change your mind on going out and spending $7 million on a Shattenkirk? It would for me.
Yes, if you
it all but
depends on what you have up like outside.
That's right.
Of that,
nobody
right?
has the Crosby, Malkin, Kessel. But if I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, I don't want to pay that guy that kind of money and overspend and be an idiot. It's not worth it.
Well, let's tie it back to Toronto. Are you looking at the Leafs going, yeah, maybe they don't have to go and get whoever.
Maybe they can just get some quality players.
Though. I personally want to see them at least get one, whether it's Vatanen or Dumba or somebody like that. Truba, if you can.
I do think it's dangerous. Like, you always have to be thinking.
Copycat, you can't do it.
Well, and
right?
You got to improve your team. Right, if you have the ability to improve your team, regardless of position, you take advantage of that.
Hey, you always want to upgrade, but if you look at the way the Maple Leafs are structured, with their big three up front, and they're all kids, but they're already really good, with Marner, Nylander, and Matthews, you got some quality veterans with Kadri and JVR. Like, just shore up that decor. And I'm not going to go Naylor on this, but...
And just predict that they're going to a cup final?
Well,
at the end of the day, there's a lot of intangibles that go into it.
Believe me, we have no idea what's going to happen next year.
Like a team with Sidney Crosby on it, they just seem to win. So you can't. That's why the copycat idea is so difficult, because you can't say, oh, maybe the decor is not that important. Well, you don't have Sidney Crosby.
No, but that's where the Leafs can say, finally, we have Auston Matthews.
Right.
Which he may not be Sid, but he's a lot closer to Sid than he is Nick Bonino.
Right.
Or whomever else out there playing second, or whoever was playing center ice for Nashville last night.
Right.
You put Auston Matthews on that Nashville team, he's immediately their best forward.
Yeah.
And maybe can change the complexity of the series.
Absolutely.
And that was the problem that I think Leaf fans had for a long, long time, is you would play copycat, and you'd say, well, look at this team. They only did this, that, or the other. And then you'd go to the Leafs and say, you can't even start the comparison because they don't have anything solidified.
Right.
The Leafs have a very good coach. I believe they've got a pretty good goalie. I wouldn't say he's top three or four goalie in the league, and I don't think he'll ever get there, but I think he's a pretty good goalie.
Here's the scary part.
And they got good forwards.
I don't want to take anything away. Like, Matt Murray isn't a top three or four goalie in the league right now, but he's got two Stanley Cups in a row.
He was unbelievable.
He was pretty damn good last night.
You're right. He was. But he still has, like, from a standpoint... like, structural standpoint, he's got still some work to do, but he's a hell of a goalie, and his demeanor is amazing. But it's just, this guy, where does he go from here? Like, he's done everything in two Stanley Cups in a calendar year.
Back-to-back Stanley Cups.
Never been done before.
No, it really is incredible.
It is. It's amazing. There's so many great storylines from that situation. But I just, when you look at it, there's... when you're comparing guys, you're right. Like, Frederik Andersen is a top, 10, 12 in the league. I think Murray's right up there, too, because of what he's doing. But you look, I think Cam Talbot's an elite goaltender. You know, I look around, I think there's six or seven.
You would rather have Cam Talbot than Matt Murray?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying Cam Talbot's a hell of a goaltender.
Right.
St. Jonathan Quick's a hell of a goalie. Like, Corey Crawford, like, they've won, but... I also think Corey Schneider's an amazing goaltender, and he had an off year. It's just,
I'd be pretty excited about the idea of Matt Murray being my guy going forward. Like I said, he's been on some great teams. There's Malkin, Crosby.
Remember, just like I say, you know who had a bunch of cups too? Chris Osgood. Chris Osgood will be better as time goes by, because he was a good goalie on a great team, and Matt Murray played very well last night. But let's not forget, they don't win that cup without Marc-Andre Fleury. Guy got a shutout on the road in Washington.
Boy, he carried them in many ways the first two rounds.
And that's
first two rounds, he played so well.
I don't want to sound negative on Matt Murray. He's a great goalie. It's just, I he's also been banged up two or three times. Like, he didn't really play a full year this year, too.
It was just the total team performance. Yep. You watched them handing out that cup last night. It goes from Fleury, and then he hands it to Matt Murray.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was just like, you could tell these guys, they get it, right? They're good guys, and that's what, like, all these old school guys like me and Noodles that get jobs in hockey, there's the analytics people that want this or that, but they'll always go back to saying, we got to get good players that are good guys, because that's how you win.
Yeah.
That's how you win, man.
It was neat to see, like, who was going to get it first from Crosby. And it was Hainsey, which the guy had never played a playoff game before.
That's an amazing stat. 900-plus games and in the league.
And like you said, he's thrown out in the last minute to defend that lead.
And was kind of an insurance pickup at the trade deadline.
Absolutely.
Like, I think they paid like a third round or something, and it was like, it's good to have him. Maybe we'll play him.
Well, they lost Letang, and they were like, we got to get two or three different guys to get a group here.
Chew up some of those.
But that's the thing about Pitt. Like, 2 years in a row, we've been talking about that defense corps, but 2 years in a row, they have rings on their fingers.
You know what?
So they're better than what people think they are.
Yes. I give a lot of credit to the coaching. I think that's an unbelievable coaching staff.
Yeah.
And if I was the Penguins, I would be thinking long and hard, and different guys have different goals. If Tockett wants to become a head coach, but he is very important to that coaching staff.
Yep.
Dealing with Sid, dealing with Phil and Malkin in the power play. If you've ever gone to a Penguins morning skate, Rick Tockett passes the puck to Sidney Crosby about 100 times for shots. Like, he's just a big part of it. But I don't know if you got to pay him kind of head coaching money to keep him there, but I would think long and hard about it.
Well it sounds like Buffalo.
I was just going to say, isn't there rumors that, like, Buffalo
of course,
is
either Rick Tockett or Phil Housley? That's what it's sounding like.
Yeah.
And Botterill will make a decision at some point, but it sure sounds like it's going to be one of those.
Where do
two
you
guys.
Think Botterill is going to lead?
Talk.
Probably to Pittsburgh.
No kidding, because he was there. He knows it. He watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it, you know,
but what are you going to do? You can't hold people back. I mean, that you can't pay him more than you're paying Mike Sullivan.
Right.
And Buffalo might offer him more than you're paying Mike Sullivan, because I can't imagine Pittsburgh's paying Sullivan that much, considering...
I think he just signed an extension this year.
Yeah, so he might
be now. Because they brought him up from the minors a year and a half ago. Yeah. Like, that's the amazing thing about Pitt. They've now won two Stanley Cups, and 15 months ago, they were a train wreck.
Absolutely.
15 months ago, they were this close to missing the playoffs.
Well, we're having Jimmy on today, aren't we?
Yeah.
We have to ask him about that kind of, you know, the switch flipping. I mean, he was stressed out. He said it was the most stressful time in his hockey career. And now he's a two-time back-to-back cup champ.
But think about it, too. You're right. They were a team that had cap issues to the point where at the end of the season, I believe this was before Jimmy Rutherford came in. It was a Ray Shiro era. They dressed not enough players one game because they were pressed up against the cap. Sidney Crosby had concussions and was struggling out of the gate. Remember, by Christmas, we were all like, boy, this is not the Sid we know. There were rumblings about Malkin's happiness there. And
they took a gamble bringing in Phil.
Jimmy Rutherford doubled down. Was like, to hell with this. I'm bringing in Phil Kessel.
And Phil's won two Stanley
Cups. This guy is back-to-back cup winner.
Phil has two. He's got two rings.
I love it.
I mean, good for him.
Yeah.
He didn't orchestrate the trade, and it worked out beautifully for him. I didn't think he had a great final. I didn't think he looked great last night, but ultimately it does not make a difference.
And don't kid yourself. He did it once last year. He brought the cup back to Toronto. Don't think that will be enough. He will do it again.
You think he'll come back?
Absolutely.
But I think he loves it here, and I think he has friends here.
I get it, but there's also a different element to it where he's like...
Do you think PK will show up at this cup party?
I don't know.
Because he was at the last one.
Well, he crashed the last one. Here's the other thing, too. You can't say that you can't win with Phil Kessel. He's done it twice in a row. Never win with that guy. Well, you can, but just...
He's got to be fit in properly.
Slotted properly. That's the narrative that always gets brushed to the side when you want to hammer a point home. Yeah, you'll never win with that guy. Well, you will, but you couldn't win with Phil and Dion in Toronto. Well, guess who was passing Phil the puck? Tyler Bozak. Guess who was playing with Dion? Corbinian Holzer. So, actually, you don't blame those two. You blame the people that were around them and the people that put those guys in place.
They were never slotted properly in Toronto.
Right.
They just weren't.
They just
weren't. And no one in Toronto really cares about that situation anymore because everything's worked out so well in Toronto.
Exactly.
Right? Like, I do think there would be more bitterness, potentially anyway, directed towards Phil and his success if the Leafs didn't win the lottery and they picked fourth and took Puljujarvi. If right. Marner didn't make the team this past year. If they didn't sign Babcock. You know, like, all these things had to fall in place around when they traded him or after they traded him. And everything's worked out well. To the point where now we're officially into the offseason, and I was reading an email that came in this morning about the odds on who's going to win the Cup next year, and Toronto, I think, is around 10th, like 16-1 odds, and bunched together with a bunch of different teams that you would expect, but Pitt's number one, Chicago's number two, Edmonton's high on that list, Tampa's high on that list, but Toronto, for the longest time...
We're dead last.
Was either dead last or right there.
Yeah.
And now Vegas is legitimately looking at them and saying, we can't get stupid with odds because people are going to put some money on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Thinking maybe they could be next year's Nashville or maybe not Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh had a history of winning, but be a team that can get hot and get going.
Yeah.
And rack up some points and get into the playoffs and ride a wave. Because that's exactly what happened this year.
Well, I think Nashville wasn't a 16th place team. I think they were a team that underachieved this year. They had a lot of inconsistencies. They had the big trade with Subban. Took him a while to settle into that system and play the way they wanted him to play. I think Phil Housley deserves a ton of credit.
What happened with him the last day? How come he went from just PK mania, Listerine mania to...
I have two philosophies. Talking. One is that he hadn't played that well and was like, I need to smarten up here and focus on the game. My second one is that Lavi and somebody else was like, zip it, we need you to play here.
Well, the audio going public hurt him because it's all over Twitter, everyone's seen it, everyone's heard it, and it's just him and Crosby dropping F-bombs on each other. Sid right. doesn't say your breath is terrible.
Right.
So PK made it up. Now, he may have made it up for the right reasons because he was goofing around.
Right.
But then he took that... And he tried to the point where he's dragging around Listerine bottles and he's tweeting
out pictures in his hotel before he goes to the game.
Right, and it wouldn't shock anybody, let's be honest, if someone in that room, if not many people in that room, said, are you serious right now? Like, we're in the Cup final. Can you stop trying to get an endorsement deal with Listerine on a story that you made up?
Yeah.
And maybe it was a coincidence, but Sid sure seemed to take off after the whole incident between him and PK.
Boy, he was
and PK calling him out after, not calling him out, but saying, yeah, we're doing this, that, or the other, and he said this, that, or the other.
And you know what? It goes back to the same thing. He's a terrific talent. He's a terrific player. He grew a lot in these playoffs, I believe, learning to be a shutdown guy.
Yeah.
But that's where he gets himself into some hot water because it's like, it's about the Cup. It's about the team. It's not about Listerine. And you taking pictures and making it ultimately about yourself. And that's where the problem comes. And I'm sure they're not happy about it, because for him to not go out and speak to the media in that big of a moment, somebody...
Well, I do can't you think imagine they him muzzled say, him? I mean, there's no way he would muzzle no himself. Kidding. I don't picture that.
I'm pretty sure his second narrative, the Lavi, just said, no, not happening today.
Yeah.
Don't let him talk. Or pull him aside that's why and say
I said
that's that, enough.
I thought there was a couple narratives, and that's why I said I'd lean towards, like... It's either Lavi or somebody else saying, like, hey, like, we're getting too much attention about this. Let's lock it down and try and win some games. Like, that would be my... You know Lavi better than I do, but I think those are the types of things. He worries about his team. He worries about preparation and stuff.
And that's what all anybody should worry about. And that's why you don't go off on a Listerine tangent in the Stanley Cup Finals. You know the cameras are out there, but you got to walk out with a bag of it so everybody sees it. And the pictures in the hotel room, PK approved. It's like, no.
Either way.
Well, we'll see what he has to say about it, because at some point he's going to do an interview or talk about it. And
if you think about it, the last three games, Pittsburgh did deserve to win. Like, they were good.
Yeah, very good.
And it was the catalyst, 87.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they lost that one where Crosby was great.
That was his best game,
I would argue.
That was game four.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable in game four.
But
he was alone.
He was
Malkin
like LeBron.
And Phil.
He was
yeah,
LeBron.
Exactly. It was a LeBron moment for him.
And we even get into
the fact that LeBron and the boys actually won the game and stole history from us.
I think that was fit. That was their championship.
But how typical was that? Remember I said that on Friday?
Yeah.
How typical of the NBA playoffs, where all they've done is bore us and just dragged us to a spot as a fan that has been almost unbearable. Everything's been predictable, all these blowouts. And when we finally have a big moment where a team has a chance to do something no other team has ever done, they'll blow it. And now they'll win tonight and go 15-1, and yeah, it was a great run, but it's not 16-0.
That's what I'm thinking, though. That's why I say Cleveland, that was their championship right there, stealing the 16-0 away
from them. Well, 49 points in the first quarter. I figured they were going to come out hot. Like, I thought they would shoot the lights out and get hopping, but I thought they were going to fade, and to their credit, they didn't fade. It didn't hurt that Steph Curry had an awful night, and I would expect him to really bounce back tonight. Now it's got a different vibe to it because it's still 3-1. Golden State's still going to win the series. Like, Cleveland's not coming back and
winning
four in a row.
Draymond Green just doesn't want to go back to Cleveland, too.
He's got to be careful, too, man. He starts talking out of school, and people start hating on Draymond Green. And this time last year is when he got himself in trouble. They were up 3-1, started kicking guys in the junk and getting suspended. And then all of a sudden, the table started to turn. But I just don't see it this year. I don't see Golden State relinquishing this lead. And now we don't have the same history on the line. It's kind of disappointing. More than anything else.
I'll tell you what, there's some nerves involved. When you blow a 3-1 and then you're up against it again, you're kind of thinking in your head, this is a must win. You don't want to go back to the Cleve.
No, you want it to wrap it up at home. You got to lock that down tonight if you're Curry and them.
Flying back to Cleveland would be a bit of a dicey situation. Is that what you're saying?
You don't want to go back.
It's a no guy.
Yeah, that is a non-gi, for sure.
Well, we'll tee up that game tonight. I want to play the audio of Jeff Van Gundy, for whatever reason, going to war on behalf of the Kardashian clan.
I had no problem with it.
I thought it was hilarious.
You had no problem with it?
He was so passionate. I actually liked it.
I was...
Okay. I had a problem with it.
Okay, I didn't.
We'll play it, and we'll discuss. And there's a lot of people texting and tweeting in, asking why we haven't brought up Shania Twain yet.
She was gooned? I couldn't hear.
I couldn't figure out if
she wasn't gooned, I need that kind of sobriety.
Somebody tweeted out, only thing missing was her just hiccuping.
Dude, do we have the audio?
No, we can't play the audio. It's the other guys.
Yeah, it's the other guys.
Like, the fact that she put the sunglasses on.
That means you're gooned.
It's such a giveaway because they showed her earlier in the game.
With no sunglasses.
No glasses. And then all of a sudden, Scott Oak rolls over, and you know she was like, whoa, hold up a second. I need to get the glasses on. And they were like massive sunglasses, too. Like, totally unnecessary. I think she was having
herself.
She's
in a luxury box.
An evening.
There's vodka in there.
I got no problem with that.
I have no problem, but she didn't go Namath, but it was like...
It was close to Namath.
Was it?
What if she said to Scott Oak, I want to give me a kiss?
That would have been outstanding.
I want to kiss you.
I would have been so happy with that kind of material.
She was... I don't know. I don't want to say goon because I don't want to speak out of turn, but
something was going on there. And I'm a Shania Twain fan, and I'm a fan of people having a good time at a hockey game, so I got no problem with that. But sometimes you need to know, even if you agreed to do the interview before the game, sorry, change of plans, I can't do this.
Yeah.
It's a difficult spot to be in, but sometimes you've got to call an audible
at the
line.
What did I tell you about Austin Matthews? At all times, a car and security. So the security guy can tell the TV people, this is not happening.
Not tonight.
I'm not letting my guy do it right now. He thinks he can. He can't.
Well, Shania needed someone to potentially step in and throw up the red light last night. But it didn't happen, and we benefited from it. So we'll touch on that.
I couldn't hear it because I was at my new favorite spot.
Oh, is that right?
Really?
I went to this place downtown called the Amsterdam Brew.
Oh, I know where that is.
Yeah, okay.
Good?
Legit.
Now, did they make their own beer, or are you allowed to order a Coors Light?
I had no idea what kind of beer I had. I had none. No idea.
You just came in a pitcher?
No.
Somebody else ordered it?
They have their own names.
Oh, yeah.
You said, food, top shelf.
So they didn't have volume on?
No.
That's weird.
It's kind of an amateur move.
That's why I'm disappointed, because I wanted to hear... Because I saw Shania with the glasses, and I thought, there's a reason she's got them on, because I saw her earlier with no glasses.
Oh, yeah.
And she was kind of, like, she was all over the map.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, man.
Like, it was like, hey, I've lost my train of thought twice here.
Her answer, when she was asked about how cool this, like, Nashville is and how it's a hockey town, and
yeah.
she starts talking about all the Canadians playing for both teams. And
yeah, she was
It was borderline Namath.
But it was, but it wasn't. Like, no. I felt like she had it on the rails, and I think halfway through her conversation, she was like, what the hell am I talking about?
I can't believe I'm a hockey
player. Stopped, but yeah.
Yeah, I think there's probably some truth in that, too. All right, so we'll touch on Shania a little bit more. We'll let you hear what Van Gundy had to say on Friday night. We'll tee up Game 5 tonight. The Jays are off. They're back in action, back home tomorrow. They took 2 of 3 over the weekend. How about the Canadian crowd, the Canadian content in Seattle over the weekend? That was on a different level than I think I've ever seen.
I think Steve Phillips even said it might be time to start looking in Vancouver.
That'd be cool.
Okay. We'll get into that because, you know, people in Montreal would probably be rattled.
They would be choked.
They would be quite bitter about it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Trevor and Victoria texting and saying, pump the brakes on baseball, the Vancouver boys. That is a zero sample size. That's a Western Canada prairie presence down in Seattle, not only Vancouver. So I guess Trevor, not convinced Vancouver could actually house a baseball team. And I think there's probably truth in that. Realistically, I think if a second team was coming to this country, Montreal would probably be ahead of the line as opposed to out Vancouver.
The Expos, I don't know the backstory, but I was sad that the Expos left. I loved them. And I know the Jays are Canada's team, but I would like to see a second team.
Well, the Expos held claim to that before the Jays did. They showed up first.
Yeah.
They were here 10 years before the Jays showed up.
Now, I don't know the backstory. Our buddy Hollywood would, but
well, ownership, the league.
Say, but did the city not
city? It didn't help.
Well? I mean, will say one thing. I went to opening night in Montreal for the Expos. Packed. Awesome.
Really?
I saw the highlights the next night.
No good?
It was tough.
Well, the Big O is terrible. Like, it's an awful field. Awful.
Really?
It's like Tropicana Field down in Tampa. It's a closed dome, fake turf. It's brutal.
I'll take a closed dome, but I won't. I would rather have like a quality building.
You That's the
I
problem. Mean? It's way too outdated. The Everyone knows if they're getting a team back, they need a new
MLB
field.
Is like the old school buildings down by the water. Let everybody downtown go to it. That's the new way.
That's what they need. Yeah. Now, I don't know Montreal well enough. I don't think Montreal has grown. Like, you look at, there was a time not that long ago, Montreal was bigger than Toronto.
Yeah,
more populated than Toronto, I believe. And
well,
Toronto
was the one season
of
the Expos. They were primed and ready to win, and
it was the strike.
Yeah,
the Jays have been Jays were coming off back to back World Series, and the Expos were like running away with their division, going to run away with it, and were heavily favored to win the World Series, and they went on strike. The players said we're out, and they didn't have a World Series, and Montreal never recovered. Toronto didn't really recover either. The Blue Jays, they had some troubles too, because that happened a lot. You go to the home opener in the late 90s.
Yeah, and then there was like
the next day, there was like 15,000 people tops. Yeah. It got ugly. I want to play the Van Gundy audio of the Kardashian
which I fully
clan
support.
Being in the building on Friday night.
Why are you acting like you thought it was like disingenuous?
Well, okay. We'll get to it in a minute.
Yeah, I want
to
hear. Right?
We'll
I want to hear both of your
and we'll
takes
break
on
it down
this because
we've got takes.
I've got my own opinion on it too.
So all right, so we've all got takes on Van Gundy and Kardashian. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. Clayton texting in, saying, good point about how all of Western Canada gets down to Seattle, not only Vancouver. Said, I know dozens of people from Saskatoon who plan their holidays around going to see the Jays in Seattle every year. And I got to be honest, man, that was...
You know how that works, though, man. They go to Seattle, but then when they actually get the team in, like, Vancouver...
They're not going there.
They don't go.
No, of course not. That's why Vancouver's not getting a baseball team. Like, it feels good in the moment because...
Yeah, it's like, wow.
Look at how many people were there. Like, yeah, that
look
was,
at how many people are in Western Canada. There's a lot of people out there.
But Western Canada is huge.
It is huge.
It's huge. Like, I don't know if we even as Canadians understand how big this country is.
It's the same size as America, but
well, that's
it's
what I'm
bigger.
Trying to say
a tenth
to you.
Of the population.
That building in Seattle is full with not just people from downtown Vancouver.
Well, exactly. Saskatoon, Edmonton, Calgary, yeah. Victoria.
That's their shot to go watch their Jays.
And exactly. There's a lot of money out there, too. I mean, hopefully the NDP doesn't take all of it, but outside of that...
yeah, that's only in Alberta, I think.
exactly. But Alberta and BC have a lot of money out there.
Right.
Like they can support it. It's just, does the fan base want that? Like, can they...
You can't support 81 games. That's what I think O is pointing out. Three games once a year? Awesome, man. Let's fly in for the weekend. Exactly. Seattle's a cool town.
Vegas and the NHL. Fly in.
Right. It's going to be very similar to that. Because, I'll be honest, I felt like that was more of a pro-Jays crowd than I've ever felt it's been a pro-Maple Leaf crowd in Buffalo.
Right.
Or a pro-Maple Leaf crowd in Ottawa. And there have been times when Buffalo's been awful, Ottawa's been awful,
yep.
The Leafs have been good, and Leaf fans are ready to take over a building, and they try to take over a building, and I don't think any Leaf fan base on any given night has ever taken over Buffalo or Ottawa's rinks like Jays fans took over Seattle's park this weekend. It was incredibly impressive. Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight. Game 4, there was a lot that came out of it, but for me, the Van Gundy stuff is clearly the most important. Because now, clearly, we have an answer. We were wondering about this last week. Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson, we thought they had broken up.
Right.
Obviously, that's not the case.
Well, they rolled in, like, the whole Kardashian.
The older Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian, Jenner, the mom.
One of them is, like, 6'5".
That's Khloe. That's
really?
The one dating Tristan.
Holy smokes.
And there's reports out there that she might be pregnant.
And wow.
What are you, TMZ?
Dude,
there's reports.
I'm all over this kind of stuff. That's what the link is now, that Tristan Thompson may have worked some magic, because he just had another kid with another girl, and then...
What?
The kid...
Dude, stop filling tanks.
He had the kid, and then he walked away from her, and then all of a sudden the Kardashians were in his life. But anyway, let's play this, okay? This was Van Gundy, unprovoked, because Tristan Thompson had been awful through three games.
Yeah, like,
he had a great game 4 and a great first quarter.
He had this plan, though, in his mind. He was like, I'm going to bring this up on the broadcast tonight.
I don't think there's any doubt. Van Gundy, for whatever reason, he's pro-Kardashian, but let's hear what he had to say, courtesy of ABC, on Friday night.
When LeBron James struggled in 2011 in those finals, did we say it was his significant other that caused him to not succeed? Or last year was Steph Curry. Was it Steph Curry's wife when he didn't play up to standard? No, this Kardashian shame is because she's an easy target. And I don't know her or her family, but I do know this. She deserves an apology.
Oh, stop. She deserves an apology. The Kardashian clan, the crew that is ruining the minds of young children throughout the world.
I totally agree with him.
You support that.
Dude, they're obviously a celeb fan. There's members of that family that have sex tapes and this and that. But you know what? She's just a person trying to live her life. She doesn't deserve that.
No, she's not trying to just live her life.
Why? Because she's trying to have a relationship with a basketball player?
Because she's trying to promote literally everything, every single thing she ever does in her life. Everything's on Instagram. Everything's on TV. Everything's on Snapchat, Facebook, any other apparatus you can find. The Kardashians are not like LeBron's wife, not like Steph Curry's wife. They are not regular people, quote unquote. They are celebrities that crave it more than anybody I've ever seen in my life. All they want is celebrity. They don't do anything. They've never done anything. I love how you just throw out, well, they got sex tapes. That's the only reason we know who they are.
That's the only, yeah, you're right.
If Kim didn't have a sex tape, we would have never heard of these people.
Kim had a sex tape with Ray J, right? Is that what his name was?
Right.
That's how she became famous.
That's how she became famous. We would have never known who
she is. The old man would be rolling over in his grave if he was like, yeah, my daughter, that's how she became famous.
Well, we knew Robert Kardashian because of the OJ connection.
Yeah.
Which one is he dating?
He's dating Khloe Kardashian.
The tall one.
She's tall.
She is a fence.
She's there have been, remember the rumors and allegations that OJ and...
Yes.
She is my favorite one. And
you're a fan. That's why you support Ben Gundy.
There's rumors that she's OJ's daughter, right?
Right. Some allegations. But those have been put to bed, is my understanding. But listen, Van Gundy.
She's never done anything wrong.
Here's what I'm going to
really
say. Here's
the Kardashians have never done anything wrong.
What has Khloe Kardashian ever done that you find offensive?
Well, it maybe isn't
an
her directly.
Attention-seeking person.
Well, she is attention-seeking. Would you agree with that? Yes. Everything the Kardashians
somehow, she's one of the most famous people in the world.
Exactly. Nobody knows how.
I don't either.
So why the hell are we even paying attention to her?
Here's my point. Because I feel like my argument falls, as usual, right in the middle of both of yours.
Well, how come nobody ever said David Beckham's got to get rid of Sporty Spice?
Posh Spice.
Nobody said that because she was actually famous for a reason. She could sing. She was in a popular band. What the hell have the Kardashians ever done?
Well, why should that affect your opinion and say that he should not be with her? That's
not
of your business.
He shouldn't be with her. I'm saying that the Kardashian curse is something I tend to agree with and put some credence into.
Go talk
to Lamar Odom about that.
That's where the argument came, is that whoever goes near this clan, things go south.
Exactly.
And I think that's where... But, like, I just love the fact that Van Gundy, who's doing color, doesn't give a damn about the ball going in on the court.
I know.
He's going on a two-minute, like,
what a
diatribe.
Waste of time.
You can't hear in the background, like, the baskets going in.
Yeah, baskets and guys running around. And also, wasn't it the game before or two games before? It's like, hey, Rihanna's here.
Game one.
Rihanna just walked by me. He was so excited. Like, I love this guy. I think it's entertaining.
Well, it is entertaining, but did you not find it a bit curious? Like, why is he going to bat for Khloe Kardashian?
I agree. Like, I thought
if you're a celebrity and you put yourself out, this is what comes with it. People talk about it. Let's be honest; a lot of it is just goofing around.
Right.
Personally, I don't care what Tristan Thompson does, but I kind of have fun dragging the whole Kardashian curse into it. Well, a lot of it is just people goofing around. But I'm not going to apologize to Khloe Kardashian because I'm bringing her name up when I talk about Tristan Thompson.
Like, if she's some sort of sex fiend that, like, the guy's got no legs for the court that night, then maybe that's a case. I played with a guy who enjoyed playing on the road because his girlfriend had some issue. And he said, I got to get to the rink. Like, I can't...
So to escape
no
is what you're saying.
I got no legs.
He's dying to get out of there.
Yeah.
Well,
why? She wanted to have sex all the time?
Like, four times a day. So he's like, I've got nothing once I get to the game.
Four times a day.
Oof.
I mean, this sounds like an oxymoron, but he's got to man up and say, I can't do it.
Say, I got to go to the game.
Realistically have sex four times a day at 34 years old?
No.
Am I doing a show that day?
Yeah.
If I got a show that day, there's
you
no chance.
You were golfing today, and you're miserable.
I'm fading. I'm a disaster.
You couldn't have sex today, and you played golf.
I went golfing. I was at this great tournament for the Salvation Army up in Newmarket. I played with Bob Nevin.
He is a legend.
Bob Nevin is such a legend. And the Crombean boys, Mike and BJ Crombean. And Bob Nevin, who was a Leaf for a long time.
Yeah, didn't Mitch Marner?
Yeah, Mitch Marner, like, broke the assist record. But I was waiting for the perfect moment to look over at Bob and ask him if he's ever tried the pesto chicken in the alumni box, and I didn't have the stones.
Why wouldn't you?
I couldn't do it because I didn't want it to be confusing, and then he's like, who the hell are you? Why are you in the alumni box? Like, I'm not a former Leaf.
Right.
But I did ask him, do you have the jacket?
Oh, yeah?
And, man, did he get a smile out of that inquiry. He said, absolutely, and I wear it with pride.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Nevin loves an alumni jacket.
See, I would like him to have a problem with the patch. The patch.
He wasn't going to wear it today. It was 35 degrees outside. But
interesting.
Bob Nevin's a big fan of the alumni box, big fan of Shanahan and everything he's doing.
Absolutely. How couldn't you be?
Well, he put it perfectly, which is such a way, like, hockey way. He said, quote, He's one of us.
Yeah.
He gets it. Shanahan's one of us because
I guess
he's a former player.
That's nice.
Anyway. All right. Ray Ferraro's coming up. Ray was in the building last night. We'll look back on the Cup Final. What this means for Pittsburgh going forward. What are the chances they could possibly do it for a third time next year? And Jim Rutherford, the GM of the Pens, will join us as well. And there's starting to be more news and notes coming out in terms of what we can expect over the next couple of weeks. who's going to get claimed, who's going to get waived.
This is going to be exciting. The next
I think it's
going to
be pretty
fun. I think
we've
got a lot of moving
parts. We should have plenty of material.
Yeah, so we'll update you on all that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. All right, Jim Rutherford coming up, GM of the Penguins. He'll join us just after 5. Ray coming up as well. Put a wrap on the Cup Final. Start looking ahead to what should be a very busy 2 weeks ahead of us, including the draft in Chicago. Boys are going to be down there. I'm looking forward to it.
You will be. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a blast down there. Jay's off tonight. We'll look back on their weekend and Game 5 of the NBA Finals.
Are you not going to stick around with me for a White Sox game on a Saturday?
White Sox? I don't know, man.
White Sox, Oakland.
Saturday. Oh, that's a brutal game.
Dude, don't say that. I saw a no-hitter. Miami and Arizona.
That's equally as bad, but at least you're in Miami, like the south side of Chicago. I don't think so. I just don't see it happening.
You may be there by yourself.
Yeah, not going to happen.
I'll phone Khloe Kardashian.
Okay, go ahead. Hour 2 up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.